Want to stop relying on boxes, cans, and multiple trips to the grocery store each week? Ready to start cooking from scratch, but feel stuck in the stress and overwhelm of it all? I get it. Putting dinner on the table with little kids is hard. Not to mention having to learn new recipes and finding time to make your own food. But you know, cooking your own food from scratch is so much better in terms of taste, nutrition, and for your wallet. That's why today I want to help you move past the overwhelm, the mom guilt, and get you started on a journey so you can feed your family homemade food that you can feel good about every night. Hey mama, welcome to the Farm Family Table, where you can find encouragement and practical tips for living the healthy homesteading life that God is calling you to. Hi, I'm Jocelyn, farm wife and mom of two littles. I know that you want to provide the best food for your family while being more self-reliant. And I believe there's a way to start homesteading with less stress, more joy, and more time focusing on what matters most, faith and family. Want to learn how? Join me as we build our homesteads together. So pop in those earbuds and start that load of laundry because we're about to dive in. Hey ladies, I know it can feel so overwhelming trying to juggle raising babies and learning new things, like cooking from scratch. That is a huge undertaking, which is why before we jump into today's topic, I want to remind you that you can find easy-to-follow, step-by-step tutorials and recipes over at our website, farmfedfamily.com. These recipes are simple, no-fuss recipes that you can make with your toddler in the kitchen with you, and they contain real, healthy, whole ingredients. And don't forget to subscribe to our email list for access to new recipes and exclusive content. Today we're talking about practical ways that you can move past overwhelm and get started cooking from scratch, or really even level up if this is something you have been trying to do for a while. I have three main tips that I want to share with you today, and these are things I've learned over time in my own journey in the kitchen. And let me say, I did not grow up learning how to cook. That wasn't really something my mom was interested in. I was in 4-H and I liked to bake, so I had a little bit of kitchen knowledge, but I really didn't know how to make a meal. And it wasn't until I was in college that I started actually getting motivated to learn to cook. And there was a lot of reasons. I was trying to save money, I was trying to eat healthier, and really I love being able to serve people and have that ability. But I think when things really changed for me was when I had to take a cooking class for my family and consumer science degree. That's when I really fell in love with trying new recipes, learning new things about food. I was really fascinated with the food science aspect of it and getting to challenge myself and experiment in my own kitchen. I remember I would go online and I used all recipes a lot back then, but I'd look for new things with the best reviews, and my goal was to compile a recipe box so that when I got married, I would have things in my back pocket that I could make for a family and serve to people when we hosted. And it really just kind of became a fun little challenge for myself because I would try and make a recipe and then evaluate, is this worthy to go in my recipe box or not? Kind of like giving yourself star reviews every time you make something. And I think my husband would attest that it was definitely a worthwhile venture because now I do have a recipe box full of recipes that we love, that I make often, and that would maybe not all get rated 5 stars, but I think they would all get rated fairly highly by my husband. I actually cooked for him quite a bit when we were dating, and I always just think of the phrase, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, because I believe that is truth. And if you're single listening to this, I highly recommend starting now, working on some of these skills. Practice and experiment while you have time, before kids, and while you can throw away your epic flops and no one has to know about it. Because you will have epic failures, or at least I know I definitely did. Chewy roast, mushy vegetables, dense bread, you name it. But that's part of learning. And you know, if you already have a family, it's not too late. They can extend grace too, because you're making an effort for your family. So I want to share all that with you because two things. First, I want you to know that you do not have to grow up learning how to cook to be able to cook from scratch. You can learn that skill as you go, as an adult, with a busy life, while working, with kids, whatever your circumstances is, you can still do it. The second part of that is have a motivation behind why you want to cook from scratch. To me, it's to bless my husband and my family with good food that's actually nourishing for our bodies. So on the days where you don't feel like cooking, on the days when it seems hard or frustrating, it's important to have that motivation and that why to spur you along. So with all that, let's talk about how we can get practical about cooking from scratch as a busy mom. The first tip that I want to talk about is meal planning, because meal planning is the backbone of cooking from scratch, because it gives you a blueprint for your week and it helps you to be strategic about your time. You cannot walk in the door at 5:30 and try to decide what you're going to make for supper. If you're used to operating that way and you try to switch to cooking from scratch while you're still in that habit, you're just setting yourself up for failure. Cooking from scratch actually takes a lot of thought, planning, and preparation. It doesn't just happen. So you need to have a plan and use what I like to call prep pockets. These are pockets of time that you have throughout your week to do little tasks to make your 5:30 meal prep go a lot faster and a lot smoother. Things like pre-cooking and cutting up meat, chopping vegetables, making broth, bread baking, all those things. And this looks different for everyone. Maybe you have one day when your spouse is home that you can do all your meal prep in one day. Maybe you do little half-hour chunks every morning before you go to work or before the kids get up. Maybe you use afternoon nap time. Or maybe you're even a crazy night owl like me and you mix your bread dough at 9:30 at night. Whatever works for you and your family. But ideally, each day, you should know what you're making for supper. You should have all the ingredients on hand and have at least some of the prep work done before 5:30. Why? Because if you don't, that's when the supper time stressness sets in. Because now you're trying to figure things out, you're looking for ingredients, you're rushed getting things ready. Meanwhile, your kids are hungry, whiny, clinging to you, everyone's upset. Does this sound familiar to any of you? Because I have definitely been in this place more than I would like to admit. Now, if having everything that planned in advance feels just unachievable to you, I would encourage you to take a step back and maybe start with trying to cook from scratch 2 to 3 times a week. Maybe make one of those days a time to try new recipes. Then pick nights that are the least busy for your family and work on those meal planning skills. Then on your busy nights, plan something that you know is super simple for you, whether it's from scratch or not. You will work up to cooking from scratch every day if that's your goal, as you master skills and things become second nature, but you will not arrive there overnight. And if you try and push yourself too fast, you're just gonna stress yourself out. And I'm not gonna talk a lot about meal planning today. If you want to learn more ways that you can use meal planning and time scheduling to really level up being able to cook from scratch, go back and listen to episode number 7, 5 meal prep tricks to cook from scratch all week. There is tons of helpful info in there if you are struggling to incorporate meal planning into your general routine. But today, I do want to share what my meal planning routine looks like, just to give you a sample idea. So typically Sunday is when I plan out our week, and I do all my meal planning and our grocery list at the same time. And I actually really enjoy planning. I mean, I'm kind of a planner anyway, but it's my time to just sit with my blanket and my cup of coffee and my planner and see what our week looks like. So I go through and I write in what I know we have going on during the week. Then I plan my meals accordingly around that. So on days that we don't have much going on, I might make things that are a little bit more involved. You know, if something has to bake in the oven for an hour, if I know that I'm going to have multiple things that I need to make for one meal. Those are also my days that I would do any baking. Thursday and Saturday nights are kind of our busy nights, or our nights where we get back home a little bit later. So I might plan something quick and easy for those nights, or I might do a crock pot meal. And I usually plan to make at least one big batch meal during the week so we can eat leftovers after church on Sunday, because we don't get back from our church until like 12:30 and the kids are hungry and in need of naps. So we need to be able to eat right away and sleep. So knowing what your family's schedule looks like, what your needs are as far as if you have time to prep things or not. And I really don't use a fancy system to plan meals. I literally go through my meal list, which is just a master list of things that I make on a regular basis, which, by the way, if you want a copy of that, you can find it for free on our website. I will link that in the show notes. And based on what we have on hand, I'll write down 7 meals just in a list on my phone. I'll look over the recipes for those meals and I'll add anything to my grocery list that we need. And then I typically go get those things at the store on Monday. Again, that's going to look so different for each person. So find your routine that works for you and a system that works for you to record and keep track of meals. I like to use my phone because I always have it with me and I do my grocery list on my phone too. And sometimes I'll even plan meals for the next week or two if I find myself sitting somewhere with just a few extra minutes of time rather than just scrolling on social media. So it helps me to be more productive to have it on my phone. But for some of you, maybe it's the opposite. Maybe your phone is a distraction. So whatever works for you. Okay, the next tip I have for you is to learn in bite-sized pieces and prioritize what needs to happen first. So when you decide to start cooking from scratch, it's easy to want to jump in and do absolutely everything. And especially if you follow homesteading personalities that make it appear like they raise 6 kids and make absolutely everything themselves, plus homeschool, plus run a business and everything else. And maybe they do, which is great, but that's not realistic for 99% of people starting out with homesteading. It's important to learn in a sustainable way to avoid burnout. And the reality is, we don't always have time to learn at the pace we want to when we have other responsibilities and kids to focus on. Prioritize what swaps in your kitchen need to happen first. What processed or prepackaged foods is your family eating on a regular basis that have unhealthy additives or that you could easily make yourself? And this depends where you're at in your journey learning to cook. Maybe right now you rely on a lot of convenience foods. Start with eliminating pre-made frozen foods like frozen pizzas, if you buy the frozen lasagna and garlic bread, whatever. Boxed meals is another one. Baked goods in a pouch. Yes, it's time to break up with Betty and start swapping for actual recipes. Or maybe you already cook on a regular basis. but you're still using shortcuts like jarred sauces, canned soups, broth, seasoning packets, store-bought salad dressing. These all have a lot of additives, little nutrients, and they're just overpriced for what you're getting. They're also very easy to make at home. And you can start slowly eliminating some of these pre-made items that pop up in your recipes. Look for recipes that only have whole ingredients. I know I talked about it before, but our website, you will not find a single recipe that requires convenience or fake food ingredients. I want cheesy ham without Velveeta cheese. I want creamy, savory casseroles without the can of cream soup. So that's what my recipes are. And most of the recipes I post, I created because I wanted something with no processed ingredients. And if that's where you're at, go check out the link in the show notes because I want to be able to help you in that journey as well. Because it is frustrating when you're learning to cook or when you're finding new recipes. And a lot of recipes online do have you grabbing for those convenience foods that still have additives that I don't want to feed my family. Okay, maybe your family avoids convenience meals and you cook with whole ingredients pretty regularly. If that's you, that is awesome. Keep doing what you're doing. But the next thing I would suggest is focusing on bread and baked goods. Now, this doesn't have to be sourdough, even though I know that's what's super popular right now. In my opinion, sourdough is kind of a whole other thing, and if you've never baked bread before, like ever, I would not recommend starting with sourdough, unless you know someone personally who is willing to work with you and teach you. But you can save so much money and have way better nutrition in your bread products when you make them at home. And we're talking all things bread. Sandwich loaves, buns, French bread, biscuits, bagels, even crackers. Now, I acknowledge that bread baking is a little bit more challenging and it's a skill that takes more practice. That's why I recommend diving into baking after you already have a handle on being able to cook just real food. I think it's important to make that a top priority for your family because that's where you're going to notice the most difference in your budget and in terms of your family's health. If you feel like you're ready to tackle bread baking, I would encourage you to go back and listen to last week's episode. I did an episode on baking healthy bread at home for beginners, and there were some really good tips in there if you're just starting out. And I also want to say there will be seasons where it just feels impossible to learn new things. And it's okay to back off for a little while. I remember when my first daughter was born, I had been making homemade sandwich bread for a couple years up until that point. And after she was born, I bought bread at the store for probably 6 to 8 months because I was adjusting to being a new mom and I was just too overwhelmed. And I don't regret it for a minute because I needed that for my sanity and that time with my baby. Now, the second time around, when my other daughter was born, I think I threw her in the wrap and was baking bread at like 3 weeks postpartum. And I started teaching myself how to make sourdough when she was like 4 months. So your circumstances change and your capacity definitely changes. As you learn new things, you're able to take on more. So recognize what season you're in and don't force it if it's not the right time. You know if it's time for you to back off and give yourself grace, or if it's time to spur yourself forward and to learn something new. All right, the last tip that I have for you is do what makes the most difference for your family. So when you start evaluating where to start when cooking from scratch, make sure you keep it relevant to your family. This might seem totally obvious, but don't focus a lot of time learning to make things that your family just doesn't eat that often. So just because I bake bread every week doesn't mean you need to. Maybe you eat a lot of rice-based dishes, maybe you eat more tortillas and flatbread, Or maybe your family prefers more like buns and soft rolls to crusty sourdough. Why spend the time learning to make traditional sourdough if that's not what your family's preferences are? Don't do it just because social media says it's cool and it's a homesteady thing to do. Think about what your family eats the most and prioritize making those foods from scratch. And sometimes there are things that you can buy that are a little bit healthier that you don't need to make from scratch. I'm not here to say that you need to make everything from scratch or even to have that as a goal. So for example, I buy ketchup at the store that's made with real ingredients instead of high fructose corn syrup, and we don't really eat it that often. So I just choose to buy it versus making my own. I'm not going to spend time researching how to make ketchup. I don't really care. I have a product I like. I can buy it. I'm not investing my time and energy in that right now. Evaluate what would be most beneficial to make yourself versus purchasing a healthy alternative. And I have one more tip for you today, which is a bonus tip. Realize you will always be learning. I have to be at least 8 years deep into working towards cooking from scratch, and there are still things that I want to learn. I would love to make all my own wraps and to make all of our crackers, and I've heard that those are easy things, but I just can't bring myself to try new things right now and maintain what I'm already doing in this season. And those are just things we don't eat a lot of. So I'm okay with doing store-bought for now. And I'll pick it up and I'll try new recipes and I'll do all that when I can find the time and the energy for it. So in summary, if you want to learn to cook from scratch and avoid the overwhelm, it boils down to two things. Number one, learn to meal plan and schedule prep time in a way that's sustainable for your family and work really hard at establishing a meal planning routine. I promise it will save you so much stress. And number two, set your priorities. Realize that this is not going to happen overnight and make a plan for what baby steps you want to take. Then be proud of yourself for taking those baby steps when you do. Okay, ladies, I hope today's episode was super helpful for you. I pray that God will help you take those baby steps that you need to do towards living a healthier, self-sufficient lifestyle through preparing your own food. And I also pray that He will protect you from overwhelm as you dive into the process. Thank you for tuning in today, and we'll see you next week. I hope you loved today's episode. I pray that you leave this episode encouraged in Christ and equipped with practical knowledge for your homestead. If that's you, will you take 30 seconds right now to leave a written review on Apple Podcasts? Your review blesses me so much and helps other mamas find this podcast and start their homesteading journey. Thanks for joining me. I can't wait to talk to you next week.